Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future of Freedom Foundation. Edited by libertarian purist Sheldon Richman, The Future of Freedom brings you the best of our movement. Featuring articles by Richman, Jacob Hornberger, James Bovard, and many more, The Future of Freedom stands for peace and liberty and against our criminal world empire and Leviathan state. Subscribe today. It's just $25 per year for the back pocket size print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's The Future of Freedom at fff.org/subscribe. Peace and freedom. Thank you. Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And, coming up, Marjorie Cohn and Jeff K. We're going to talk about some stuff. Right now, though, we got Eric Garris. He's the managing, whatever, director, boss, guy that runs antiwar.com. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Eric?
Fine. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you joining us today. So, first of all, let's talk about Iraqi politics for a minute here. There's rumors of coups and counter-coups and military responses and all kinds of crisis. Nouri al-Maliki does not want to step down. And so, please break it down for us. Who's doing what in the Iraqi parliament today?
Well, as most of your listeners probably know, there's been a political battle over the last several months to pick a new prime minister after the last elections. Maliki wants a third term, and a lot of people oppose that. He's been unable to get a majority of the parliament to agree to choose him. So they keep adjourning and then trying to figure something out and then reconvening and failing again. So yesterday the parliament met again, and after several hours, they were unable to choose a new prime minister designate, so they agreed to adjourn for 9 days. At that point, Maliki demanded that the new president, the president is always a Kurd,
right,
in this new government.
Mm-hmm.
Prime minister is always a Shia, and the speaker is always a Sunni. So the only thing they have chosen is the Sunni, the new Sunni speaker, and the new Kurdish president.
Right.
So the new president doesn't have that much power. It's mainly a prime minister has most of the power, but the president could designate a new person to try and form a government,
mm-hmm,
and they haven't done that yet.
Sort of like the president of Israel's position.
Yes, yes. Or the
he doesn't
Queen of
really
England.
Do anything other than say, now it's your turn to form a government to try to.
Right. Uh-huh. It's primarily ceremonial. There are a few other minor powers, but that's about it. So the Maliki demanded that since they had been unable to pick a designate by their deadline constitutionally, that the president was required to renominate Maliki and that he would try and form a government and be the caretaker leader, to continue to be the caretaker leader. The new president, Mahmoud, refused to do it, and Maliki said that was a violation of the Constitution. He accused him of fomenting a coup, and he's now brought charges against him, and he deployed tanks around the Green Zone, which houses the Iraqi government facilities and also the U.S. Embassy.
Mm.
At that point, the U.S. finally said, Maliki has to go. So, and they backed the new president's call to get rid of him.
Is that the order that it happened in? He called out the tanks and then they endorsed the president's maneuver?
It
publicly
happened so almost simultaneously, it's hard to say which happened first.
Yeah.
But I believe that that's the case.
I mean, it does certainly sound like they were behind it for them to get, you know, right
well,
out
I'm
and
sure
endorse it when it wasn't even. You're saying,
I'm sure there's at least coordination between the anti-Maliki forces and the U.S. government, perhaps the CIA.
Yeah.
And I think Maliki...
Because he didn't really, if I understand you right, Eric, the president didn't really do anything, but that's the problem, is he was supposed to go ahead and let Maliki try to form another government.
Now,
he didn't really mount a coup or anything. It was just the beginnings of what could have been one or something.
No, but Maliki fears, and I think rightly so, the CIA. He's afraid that he's gonna get the Diem treatment.
Yeah. Well, right. The fact that they spoke up, that the State Department came out and endorsed what was going on, is pretty much proof that he's right about that.
Right. Now this morning, the Shiite National Alliance picked a new nominee for Prime Minister, Al-Abadi. Now, he's been in the running multiple times for Prime Minister, and he is a member of the Dawa Party, and he's a part of the State of Law Coalition, which is Maliki's ruling coalition. But he was nominated by the other chief Shiite bloc, which is mainly made up of the Sadrist movement and the Supreme Islamic Council, mm-hmm. which is pro-Iran.
So now, is the Dawa Party, do you know if the Dawa Party is actually been kind of folded into Maliki's State of Law, or he's actually broken off a couple of years ago and made his own government party separate from Dawa now?
It's still technically part of the State of Law Coalition, but not everyone in the Dawa Party is a Maliki supporter, even if they're still part of the ruling bloc at the moment.
Right.
But here's what all the mainstream media is reporting this morning is that the Iraqi Shiites have chosen a new prime minister and that the president has asked him to form a government. The problem is that parliament hasn't voted on this, and there are many members of the Dawa Party, including people who have been critical of Maliki, who says, no, we don't like this guy. We're not supporting him. So it's unclear that Al-Abadi is going to have any more support than some of the other people that they've tried to put forward. So at this point, nothing has really changed in terms of the deadlock in the Iraqi parliament.
Well, and it sounds
until
like the
they
contest
reconvene, which is now scheduled from 8 days from today, they could move that up. But until that happens, nothing is going to happen from a legal and constitutional perspective. Now, what may happen, extra legally, I think that there are a lot of possibilities of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, from drones to a bullet to the back of the head or whatever, rendition him off to Egypt for
right.
the Mubarak treatment.
By the way, Al-Abadi spent over 2 decades in England. He spent over 2 decades in England during most of Saddam's rule. So he's a very Western-oriented guy.
And that's the Kurd who's the president now?
No. This is Al-Abadi. He is the
Shiite designate
for prime minister.
Ah.
Or the the National Alliance designate. Now, the National Alliance, keep in mind, is still the second largest bloc in parliament.
Right, and that's the Supreme Islamic Council.
And the Sadrist Alliance. Yes, exactly.
Right. And now, so what's important, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned this for people listening here, that the Supreme Islamic Council and the Dawa Party, in their, not entirely, but almost entirely, spent the time from Saddam's invasion of Iran in 1980 all the way through Bush Jr.'s invasion of Iraq in 2003 in Iran. They were the Iraqi traitors who took Iran's side in the Iran-Iraq war, and then America fought for them to put them in power all this time. So really what we're talking about here is still just a choice of one, two, or three of the Iranian parties. But I guess you're saying this guy, he's part of their network, but he's much closer to the West than the Iranians, it sounds like.
Yes, but indications are he has the backing of Iran. Iran said last week that they were working on trying to find someone who was acceptable to them to replace Maliki. And the fact that the National Alliance has put forward Al-Abadi would indicate to me that Iran is supporting Al-Abadi at this point.
Yeah.
And so is the U.S.
Well, and this is all deck chairs on the Titanic anyway, at least according to the official policy.
None of this is going to change anything in terms of what's happening in Iraq unless there's a coup or counter-coup. And then that will have a significant effect, a reverberation throughout Iraq that's going to make the other things that are going on much worse. And I think that that's not certainly, I'm not saying it's absolutely the most likely thing that will happen, but I think it is a likely possibility that you'll see Maliki ousted in an extra-legal manner, or that there will be an attempt to do that and Maliki will counter and just take dictatorial powers.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it seems like if he's not taking the hint from Sistani, then he's willing to fight for it no matter what.
Yes, clearly he's not leaving. He's not interested in taking his riches and being jetted off to a foreign country where he can live out his life in luxury. He wants to keep the power.
All right, well, I got to let you go, but thank you very much for your time.
All right, take it easy, Scott.
That's Eric Garris. He's the managing director of antiwar.com, and it's their fund drive right now, and I know I've been begging y'all for money, too, but you got to support antiwar.com. It's the most important site on the internet, and if it wasn't there, what would you do? Seriously. If the world didn't have antiwar.com, are you kidding me? It's a nightmare. So do what you can to help support. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, all, Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co.